Let's keep the football theme going, and something that's become a regular feature on the show, I've got to say as well, it's becoming one of my favourite parts of the show. This is where we look at what is happening in North American football, or soccer, in Major League Soccer. We're joined for MLS Monday, as always, by Drew Farmer. Drew, good afternoon.
Hey, Andy, it's good to be here, and of course, it's one of my favourite parts of the show as well.
Absolutely. No, I can imagine that. I can believe that. Now, Drew, do you know what? As we were doing MLS Monday last week, I was looking through the tweets that we were getting to Radio_Yorkshire, and somebody tweeted and said, are you going to give Vancouver a mention? They're top of the Western Conference, and very rarely they get a mention by any other sort of UK broadcaster. And you and I were bantering a bit about what would be good to talk about. And do you know what? I think the point is actually valid. So let's talk about Vancouver Whitecaps. They had a good win over the weekend. It included a penalty that was probably the softest penalty I've ever seen. But Vancouver going very well in the West.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And it is Major League Soccer, so there are a few soft penalties every now and again. Let's give Vancouver a little bit of love. They are currently on 42 points. They are second overall in Major League Soccer right now, first in the Western Conference, 2 points above FC Dallas. Now, they have been manhandling their opponents lately here in MLS. They've winners of their last three, 10 goals, one given up by Vancouver. So they are really hitting form right now. As you said, Saturday they beat Real Salt Lake 4-0, goals from Octavio Rivero, Pamadou Kaw, and a brace from Christian Takara. And, again, doing very well defensively, extremely steady, only given up 22 goals this season, which is the fewest in MLS. And right now Vancouver soaring in the Western Conference.
When you look at their squad, Drew, obviously MLS now is full of big names that are known worldwide, your Steven Gerrards, Andre Pirlos and the like. For Vancouver, Rob Earnshaw seems to be probably the name I would say is most familiar, formerly with Cardiff and Blackpool recently as well.
Yeah, that would be the name that I think a lot of people would draw their attention to. But he's only made 4 appearances this season, all off the bench, 1 goal for Vancouver, and he's really not getting a lot of playing time, more of just a bit part player for them. He's 34 years old. Their two biggest designated players are Octavio Rivero, who we mentioned a minute ago, scoring over the weekend. He has 9 goals for the season, as well as designated player Pedro Morales. He's got 4 goals, 4 assists. And they're really spreading around the scoring. 13 different players have been on the score sheet this season. And their coach, Welshman Carl Robinson, who spent some time with the Sheffield clubs on loan, played for Sunderland before moving to MLS. He's really got them playing well. He's been coaching there since 2013, and he's really given them a defensive solidity this season.
Well, let's move away from the Whitecaps to something which is quite a new event for MLS, but I imagine is quite an exciting thing. The New York Derby, New York Red Bulls, well-established Major League Soccer team. New York City FC, this is their first season. It's one of those on the sort of technicality, New York City FC play in New York, where New York Red Bulls play, if I'm right, in New Jersey. But I imagine as a spectacle for Major League Soccer, this is like a huge deal now.
Well, I'm not going to lie, Andy. When they first put New York City in the league, I kind of thought this would be a bit of an artificial derby, but it's really, the fans have really taken to it, and the atmosphere has been quite good from the games I've seen. Now, yesterday, to get into it, the atmosphere may be a little bit too intense, as a bit of a fan fight broke out before the game, a little ways away from Red Bull Arena. A group of fans for both teams kind of clashed. Nothing much, really, at least from the video that I've seen that was put out by the AP today. It was, you know, more handbags than anything. But a lot of headlines by non-soccer websites out there today talking about the fan violence, which was quite interesting on my part.
When it comes to these two New York sides, we know that they're New York City FC, they're the new team, Red Bulls more established. How do the neutrals look at this? Do neutrals maybe look at it almost as the New York Red Bulls are the MLS side, as it were, the one that maybe has that established thing, where New York City FC might just be almost a way for Man City to get into North America, so they maybe have a bit more love nationally for the Red Bulls?
Well, I think a lot of the neutrals will see New York City is the team that's coming in, throwing around the cash. And I do think a lot of the newer fans of the league will see that as a good thing, as a new team coming in with the ties to Manchester City. Speaking from my experience, what I think, this has made, in my opinion, the relevance of Red Bull New York even bigger, because I don't think that the city, you know, obviously they cared, but they didn't care as much until they had this competition from the New York City FC squad, and I'm actually, you know, I'm rooting, I have to say, for the Red Bulls to do well this season to stay relevant, and currently they are second in the Eastern Conference.
Just to move us again away from that to something else which is going on in MLS. Now, transfer windows in Major League Soccer work differently to how things work in European football and things, but the transfer window closed last week. Now, this is my understanding at least, Drew, and I'm interested because there was all this rumour going round from about Wednesday last week that Hull City might be looking at Chicago's Sean Maloney, a player who's, you know, lots of history here. Now that the transfer window is shut, does that mean that that deal is completely not going to happen? Because I imagine Chicago wouldn't want to let him go. They wouldn't be able to bring anybody in as a replacement. Am I right in that thinking, or could this deal maybe still happen?
Well, that deal should be off. There should be no deal until January when the window reopens, unless a contract is mutually terminated by the club, or they were to terminate the contract for him to return to England. That would be the only real way that Sean Maloney could make his way back to Hull City.
And finally, Drew, what about the players who were looking good for the most valuable player, the MVP, at this kind of stage?
Well, right now, that it's coming down to about a three-horse race, and it's right now being led by Toronto's Sebastian Giovinco, a former Juventus player, came over in January. He's currently on 16 goals with 10 assists, and he's being closely followed by Sporting Kansas City's Benny Fellhaber and Columbus Crew's Ki Kamara, who spent time with Norwich City as well as Middlesbrough. But again, if you look at my opinion here, I think Giovinco edges them at the moment. Giovinco is just playing outstanding, well worth the cash that they've paid to bring him in. Toronto, if you look at their goals scored this year, 37. Giovinco has had a hand in 26 of those goals, and he's doing it, especially on the road, 10 goals, 5 assists there. And this is a team that has spent a lot of money over their history in MLS. They've been in the league since 2007. They've never made the playoffs. And this season, Giovinco brought in to try to get them over the line, drag them to the playoffs, and currently he's doing it. And hopefully for Toronto fans, he can keep doing it, because I think MLS needs Toronto to make the playoffs and really make a push for an MLS Cup, because they were the first Canadian team, and so far just a lot of money spent, but not a lot to show for it.
Do you know, you mentioned about Toronto always kind of spending quite a bit. I remember Danny Dicchio was one of their first big signings, player who did all right in English football and was something of a cult hero over here. Danny Dicchio went over in the first couple of seasons for Toronto, didn't he?
Well, he is also a cult hero with Toronto fans. I believe he scored their first goal in MLS history, and I want to say it was in the 26th minute, something around there. I believe, at least in the past, around that time, they'll usually sing their Danny Dicchio song.
See, cult hero, wherever he goes. Drew Farmer, thank you very much for joining us on MLS Monday for this week. More from Drew with MLS Monday in 7 days' time.